This is Coach Lee, and you're listening to The Door Report.
At Vanderbilt, it's Tim Corbin and the Vandy Boys, Jerry Stackhouse on the hardwood, and Clark Lee on the gridiron. Nashville, it's time to sit back, relax, grab a cold one, and enjoy the show. The Music City is our stage, and West End is where we rock. You're listening to The Door Report, the premier Vanderbilt podcast for fans who bleed black and gold. Commodore Nation, anchor down.
Welcome back into The Door Report, episode 263 on an actually lovely and sunny Tuesday evening, March 12th, 2024. I am Will Byram, joined as always by my co-host, Trevor Hewlin. Here at The Door Report, we are powered by 615 Collectibles. If you're into sports cards or sports memorabilia of any kind, 615 Collectibles has an unmatched selection that continues to grow every single day. Check them out on eBay. Just search 615 Collectibles and find an unmatched selection of sports cards. Shipping is always fast and free, and 615 Collectibles website is coming soon, summer of 2024, 615collectibles.com. Trevor, I said episode 263. If right now you're looking at Spotify, you're looking at YouTube, there is no episode 262. Why is that, Trevor?
So TDR had, and when I say TDR, I mean myself, made a horrible mistake with the audio. So if you guys are wondering and you've been listening for a while, hey, the audio kind of sounded funky starting around Christmas time. I have been using the wrong microphone output since about Christmas time. And last week we recorded, to be honest, it was a banger of an episode. It was an absolute banger. We go back, we check the audio. It was unsalvageable. But a little bit of redemption with the spaces, though, I guess. The spaces did save us.
Episode 262 was a banger. It was too long and too passionate to re-record. That was the main. If it was like a 25-30 minute episode that we just banged out and went through the motions, we might have re-recorded episode 262. But we poured our heart and soul into episode 262, pretty much just like we do every single episode.
It's just the TDR way.
The only thing, well, we'll get into this more. This is still the intro here, actually. So RIP episode 262, the Vandy boys keep on rolling. A lot of games to recap.
A lot of games.
Slash rehash. We're not going to recap or rehash all the individual games, of course. But we are going to bring up some interesting stats for Vanderbilt throughout this baseball season so far. We also have Vanderbilt basketball's regular season to kind of recap, in a way. Not going to be a full recap because we know how it played out. Vanderbilt basketball in the first four of the SEC tournament tomorrow at 6 p.m. against Arkansas. Tomorrow/today when this episode is released. And then we will have a little bit of discussion about Jerry Stackhouse, which is pretty much all the spaces was about.
Yep, Jerry Stackhouse and Candace Story Lee being a fraud.
Losing faith in the admin slash faith has been lost.
Yep. There's no more losing faith. The faith is gone when it comes to Candace Story Lee now.
The faith is gone. That might be a good title for this episode. We might have the title right in front of us. Boom. All faith Banger. Is lost. All hope is lost. Whatever you want to call it, we'll figure it out. But before we get into all that and much more, don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at The Door Report. Like us on Facebook, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Our podcast is available on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and YouTube. And while you're at it, give our podcast 5 stars and a review on iTunes. It's now time for segment one. Welcome back into episode 263 of The Door Report. I keep wanting to say episode 262. 263 for some reason. It's just not rolling off the tongue. One of the major things I was upset about losing the audio on episode 262. Not upset at you. Mm-hmm. You know, you might be a little underpaid as the video editor,
I'm the editor. I don't edit jack shit. Dude.
You're the live producer. Well, our producer's asleep somewhere.
Being a lazy little bastard.
Yeah, not checking audio quality per usual. But one of the main things I was...
Anything she does is she disrupts the entire production.
The crinkling noise.
What production manager disrupts the live production? The cat. Phoebe.
Phoebe the producer. Phoebe the goat producer. But I was a little upset because I ran through and got all of Vanderbilt's or all their pertinent offensive and defensive stats so far this season for Vanderbilt baseball, where they ranked in the country and kind of a per nine innings statistical breakdown. Mm-hmm. And we ran through all of that and we debated, is it too early to really judge? Well, now Vanderbilt, outside of a couple games, about to hit SEC play. So probably a good time now to look through the stats and what they've done so far this season, maybe even better than it was last episode. So we're trying to make lemonade out of lemons here, even though we lost EP 262. Trevor, I don't want to make you feel bad. That is the last time I will bring it up. I know you were feeling guilty.
Really? Hey, we should really blame Billy because we had to create a whole new aggregate for the mics for Billy. So maybe it's Billy's fault.
A mic we didn't even use because we didn't have the proper connecting
cable.
We
didn't have an XLR, an additional. I totally forgot. I'll just get the mic. Little did I remember, I needed another freaking cable.
Win some, you lose some, but always remember it's Billy Derrick's fault. Anything bad happening to Vanderbilt, anything bad happening with TDR, it's always Billy Derrick of VandySports.com's fault.
We also need to make a note. People love to be like, ooh, TDR is the curse. Ooh, Trevor, you tweet about the green uniforms. Bad juju. Ooh, you're at the game. They lost. Maybe. Just maybe. A lot of people like to say it went downhill with the fat V. But really, I think we can pinpoint the downfall of Vanderbilt Athletics. It's when Billy Derrick went to VandySports.com. Right before the football season we had a lot of expectations for. Declined. Basketball season, a season we had a lot of expectations for. Declined. Is it Billy Derrick's fault?
I was going to say, I thought you were going to reference the fact that Billy is the one that actually started TDR.
Oh, no.
I was going to say, yes, he is. But since he started TDR, it was at a very low point. And honestly, the trajectory until he left was getting better.
Yeah.
Things are improving. And then he was an absolute gosh darn traitor. Went over and wanted to work for a real company and not a real media site.
Not a fake podcast.
Yeah, not a dumb podcast over here. And all of a sudden, Vanderbilt can't win a gosh darn game.
You know what they say, dude. Everybody's got a podcast. Everybody's got a podcast.
Exactly. But Trevor, let's get into these stats. Vanderbilt baseball currently sitting at 14-3. Coming off a sweep of Illinois State. Since we last recorded the episode that nobody has heard, Vanderbilt beat Eastern Michigan 6-2. Games that have happened since we last released an episode, not since we last recorded, Vanderbilt put up a 20 burger against Indiana State, winning 20-4. Vanderbilt beat Evansville 7-3, and Vanderbilt swept the Astros Classic in Houston, beating Louisville, Houston, and Texas 7-4, 3-1, and 14-11, respectively.
Hey, if you're listening to this pod at this current moment, throw the horns up and throw them down. I don't care if you're at your desk and your cubicle at a coffee shop in the bathroom. Horns up, throw those bitches down.
That was a big part of the last episode.
It was a huge part.
That's one thing I'm
mad about that. I'm really mad about because it was a good Texas recap.
It's going to be really fun before we get into the rest of these stats. It's going to be really fun to trigger Texas fans. I found that because other SEC fans are going to come on Vanderbilt's side and they're going to be the outsiders, the new guys coming in.
Yeah.
And Vanderbilt football is 8-3-1 all time against Texas.
They're going to have to win a lot of games against us to have a winning record against
Texas. Texas has a lot of making up to do on football. And so until then, remember, Vanderbilt fans, hold that over the Texas Longhorn fan base with all of your might. because it might go away. But for now, we are kings.
Yeah. Let's take a brief second to look on. I get it. Football might not be great right now, but let's just imagine right now. It's October 26th, I believe. A crisp fall day. The Longhorns are in town. We're all just having a grand old time in Lot 2. Beers are flowing. Darts are ripping. Zins are popping. It's a beautiful day. We all make our way in to the bank. We think, you know what? We don't have a shot in the world. But let's just go out there and have fun. Let's go out there and have fun. It's the first quarter. Okay, Vanderbilt's not getting blown out. Good job, boys. You get to halftime. Hey, they've kept it competitive at the half. They're maybe down 3 points, but you're like, hey, who would have thought this? Vegas sure as hell didn't. Then you get to the fourth quarter, about 5 minutes left. Tie ball game. Vanderbilt has the ball. You're thinking, oh, God, here it comes again. The ever-true Vanderbilt football heartbreak. Vanderbilt goes down. Don't get a touchdown. Kick a field goal. Vanderbilt's up 30-27. Texas gets the ball back. About 3 minutes left, and you think, here we go. Arch Manning, Quinn Ewers, whoever the hell they got throwing the ball.
It's going to be Quinn Ewers.
It's going to be Quinn. You think, here we go. Same old Vanderbilt. Going to snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory. Now the Vanderbilt gets a third and long. You think, oh, this is interesting. Less than 2 minutes left. Vanderbilt has two timeouts left. Texas has one. Third and long. Quinn drops back. You see him. The pocket collapses. Throws it over the middle, trying to get a first down. C.J. Taylor jumps the pass. C.J. Taylor jumps the pass. C.J. Taylor interception. C.J. Taylor returns it to the Texas 22-yard line.
Slides down.
Vanderbilt.
He has an open path to the end zone.
But hey, but he played CJ, the smart guy.
But
smart
C.J.
play.
Taylor, being the intelligent player that he is,
yes.
The door for life that he is, slides yes. down to secure the victory yes. instead of securing individual statistics.
Yes, he slides down. Nate Johnson, big Nate Johnson, goes, boys, you know what time it is. We got a fat V on our helmet. Let's show them a fat V on the field. Victory formation time, boys. Kneel. Texas timeout. Kneel. Game. Blouses. Doors win. You look at the young child next to you, Texas Longhorn fan, burnt orange. You go, hey, kid, it's going to be better. Psych. Horns down in a child's face. Look at his dad. His dad says, that's disrespectful. Say, hey, suck it. Horns down, dad. We head back to Lot 2. We drink up the whole place. We head to Chili's on West End. They're like, what the hell? Why are so many people here? We have two waiters and two waitresses. There's one person at the bar. We'll take all the beer you got, Chili's. We drink Chili's dry. Then we head to Dogwood.
Chili's, just like always, thoroughly confused why they're so busy.
God's
like,
earth.
Is there an SEC football game going on across the street? What is that? We're understaffed.
Chili's, drank dry. We make the walk to Midtown. Dogwood, I'm coming for you. We let the dogs out on the field. We let the dogs out in Dogwood. We drink that place dry. And then we all Uber home safely because drunk driving is a serious crime. When you're in Tennessee, drive sober, buckle up.
Drive sober or get pulled over. Booze it and lose it.
Booze it. Oh, dude, they don't still do booze it and lose it anymore.
I think that's gone.
Yeah. Oh, that was a great tagline.
That got a little off track.
We're trying to make up for the lost
episode.
Yeah,
we are making up. This was pretty much all of episode 262. Yeah. It was just insane rants for an hour and a half, which is why it's so sad it was lost to the ether. But Vanderbilt baseball's overall stats going into today, as of March 12th. Right now, Vanderbilt sits 34th in the country in batting average as a team, hitting .314. In doubles per game, Vanderbilt sits 18th in the country, 2.59 per game, 44 on the season. This is where the offensive stats get a little bit worse. The real power. Vanderbilt is 98th in the country in home runs per game, only hitting 1.18 per game. Tied for 63rd in overall home runs in the country with 20. Vanderbilt has played a few more games than some other teams. But those power numbers are a little bit concerning, I will say, because the top of the country right now is Georgia and Tennessee. And I think Georgia has 48 or 49 team home runs, and Tennessee has about 44. So the top of the line in the country as a whole is sitting at about 40 home runs. Vanderbilt's about half that. Vanderbilt's slugging percentage, 46 in the country, 519. Now stolen bases, Vanderbilt sitting at 7th in the country overall with 43 stolen bases on the season. Per game, Vanderbilt's 9th in the country, 2.53 stolen bases per game. That's it for the offensive stats, Trevor. Are you concerned about the bats, or do you just think this is a team that doesn't have home run power and they can make up for that in other aspects?
They've been a real small ball team so far. You've seen it with how aggressive they've been on the base pass. Tim Corbin once again revitalizing the Vander bunt. Safety squeezes has been, I think we've had like three or four safety squeezes already at this point of the year. The power doesn't concern me, but I do understand how it concerns other people. I think that it is a bright spot that Troy Lanive is really hot right now. Kozel is very hot right now. And you got somebody who might have the most power on the team in Braden Holcomb sitting on the bench. Why he doesn't get more playing time, I don't know. I know that I believe it was Tim Corbin made a reference that he has a lot of growing to do. Yeah, maybe mentally or in his character, that bat doesn't have much more growing to do. That bat is power ready right now. I think, too, Davis Diaz has been in a little bit of a slump. Davis Diaz has power whenever he can get going. So there's power. There's not power like we would like, but they have some power. I don't think anybody looked at this ball club going into the season and said this is going to be a power hitting team. That was the one big knock on them, is there's no power on this team. I think Corbin sees that. I think he prepared for that. And I think what you have on this team is, I think you have a small ball type team.
Unfortunately, I think you're right. It's still early, but the pitching is not going to get easier to hit against in SEC play. So if you're not seeing inflated home run numbers from a team that frankly hasn't had the easiest out of conference schedule in the country by any means, but it certainly hasn't been a gauntlet or anything like that. There's been plenty of very winnable games against subpar programs. We did not a name you just mentioned. We did give quite a bit of a shout out to on episode 262, but Camden Kogiel being SEC freshman of the week. That was another thing we hit on for a bit. I just want to read off his stats from the week that he had because they're insane. Camden Kogiel, or Kozil, I'm going to mispronounce that many times.
Not really sure anybody knows
how to say it. It's whatever.
It's like Issa Wataha. We'll just never learn how to pronounce his name.
You know who I'm talking about. 14 hits, led the SEC in RBIs with 11, 3 doubles, 23 total bases, 2 home runs, 14 of 24 at the plate, hitting .583, and he crossed home plate scoring 6 times. It's a decent week.
Yeah.
Decent week from a freshman. So shout out Camden Kogiel. We won't hit on too many individual guys, but Devin Futrell, I think needs a shout out for the pitching performance he put on Sunday.
He's a stud.
Full game shutout against Illinois State to close out that series and close out the sweep. Seems to be zoning in and finding his way. This Vanderbilt pitching staff seems to be dialing it in. Let's hit on some pitching stats since we're on that. Vanderbilt on the pitching / defensive side of things, 57th in the country in overall ERA with a 4.32. Walks allowed per 9 innings, 45th in the country, 3.72 walks per 9 innings. Hits allowed per 9 innings, 23rd in the country with 7.38 per 9 innings. And then fielding percentage. Vanderbilt is currently 3rd in the entire country in fielding percentage with a .987. So Vanderbilt defensively pitching seems to be dialing it in and becoming what we expected.
Yep.
And I think that's where Vanderbilt's going to hang their hat this season.
And I think, too, shout out to Devin Futrell for that beautiful game. We got to give some love to Bryce Cunningham for this past Saturday against Illinois State. 8 innings, 4 hits, 2 runs, 1 earned run, 11 strikeouts. He was throwing in the upper 90s, still going into the 7th and 8th inning. I'm honestly shocked they didn't let him go the full 9, but I respect it. But a beautiful, beautiful, almost complete game from Bryce Cunningham on Saturday, who seems to be really locking in as well.
I think overshadowed a bit by Devin Futrell's performance.
Yeah.
I think we'd be talking about that as an individual shout-out if Futrell hadn't
11 strikeouts. I mean, good Lord.
So Vanderbilt begins SEC play this following weekend. They open up with Auburn, currently sitting at 12-3. It's finally time to learn what this team is made of. I don't think there's really too much evaluation. You're going to learn what every SEC team is made of. But that's where Vanderbilt sits right now, and things look pretty promising overall. I would say outside of power, this team might just have gap power instead of hitting it over the fence power, and they're just going to have to deal with that. But Trevor, are you confident? How are you feeling on a scale of 1 to 10 in confidence? How are the vibes?
I'm at about an 8.5 for this baseball team. I feel really, really confident. I'm trying not to get a big head in terms of non-conference play. Because once again, SEC baseball is just a different beast. It's the best baseball conference in the nation. A lot of top talent. But I'm very, very excited. And I do have high expectations for what this team can do and what I expect them to do going into conference play.
I had to shift my brain here because now that we've talked about the very successful stretch for the Vandy boys.
Oh, no.
We have to talk Vanderbilt basketball.
Oh, no.
Last couple games of the regular season, we talked about it incessantly on the spaces. Let's take a TDR cocktail break first. Let's grab a beverage. Everybody out there, grab a beverage. Because the stats I'm about to read off from Vanderbilt's regular season as a basketball team are going to make you sad. It's either going to make you sad or make you feel justified or, like me, both. Your eyes have not deceived you. Vanderbilt basketball is as bad as they appear to be when you're watching them in person or watching them on television. Vanderbilt sucked this whole year. And as a matter of fact, 9-22 with 4 conference wins actually is better than what the stats show.
Yeah.
So let's take a TDR cocktail break, grab yourself a cold one, and we will be right back. Welcome back, as my voice cracks from the TDR cocktail break. Welcome back into episode 263. It's now time to talk about the joyous topic, the fun topic of Vanderbilt basketball. Trevor, are you ready?
I'm going to sit this portion out, brother. I'm gonna sit this out. I will interject angry commentary every now and again, but I wish, honestly, no, I'm not gonna say it. I don't wish that actually.
I don't even know where you're going.
Gonna say we should just abolish the basketball program, but I love Vanderbilt basketball too much. I think we should abolish Jerry Stackhouse, but Kenneth Storey really doesn't want to.
Well, Vanderbilt basketball has won 3 of their last 9, so 2 of their last 4. Hard to argue with those numbers. That's success. That's the right trajectory right there. However, unfortunately, Vanderbilt did finish the season overall 9-22, 4-14 in conference, second to last in the SEC, 13th overall in the SEC, only ahead of Missouri, who went 0-18 in conference play. Pretty impressive. Impressively bad Missouri basketball team. I wanted to do these Vanderbilt basketball regular season stats overall in the country. I wanted to do points per game in the country, assists per game. Vanderbilt ranks so low in all of those, it's impossible. So I had to break out most of these stats by just in the SEC and where Vanderbilt sits just in the SEC. Vanderbilt right now, and this is all according to ESPN. So if you have issues with these stats, check out ESPN. Because they're right. Vanderbilt right now, 323rd in the country in points per game. That'll be the last time I read off an in-the-country stat. The rest of this will be SEC. Points per game, Vanderbilt averaged 67.4. That is last place in the SEC, 14 out of 14. Vanderbilt was the only team that averaged below 70 points per game in the conference. In fact, no one else averaged below 72 points per game in conference, a full 5 points below the next worst offensive team. Vanderbilt, as a team, shot 39.4% from the field, ranking 14th in the SEC. From the three-point line, Vanderbilt shot 28.1%, ranking 13th in the SEC. From the free throw line, Vanderbilt shot 71.2%, ranking 11th in the SEC. Assists per game, Vanderbilt averaged 9.3 per game, ranking 14th in the SEC. The only SEC basketball team that did not average double-digit assists per game as a team. The only one. Vanderbilt ranked 12th in the conference in rebounds per game, 34.4. On the defensive side, Vanderbilt ranked 12th in steals per game, 6 per game. Blocks per game, Vanderbilt was tied for last with only 2.9 blocks per game. Now we go to the rest of the defensive stats. Vanderbilt was the worst defensive team in the conference, as well as the worst offensive team. Overall, in points per game, Vanderbilt gave up 75.4 points per game. That's only 9th in the conference. You're thinking, not so bad, right? That is 100% because of Vanderbilt's slow pace of play, not because of good defense. Vanderbilt, last place, 14 out of 14 in defensive field goal percentage. Team shot 45.6% against Vanderbilt.
That's insane.
Last place in the SEC in three-point percentage against. Vanderbilt ranked 14th, giving up 37.4% from the three-point line. That's against opponents. Insane. That is nuts.
That's even more insane.
That is how shitty Jerry Stackhouse is at designing a defense and building a roster that can play defense. And maybe these stats would be decent or even okay if this team was good on the offensive end.
Yeah.
But they're even worse on the offensive end somehow. Vanderbilt is 13th in the SEC in turnovers forced per game, only forcing 10.9 per game. There are zero defensible team stats that I could find. I can't even find a case that Vanderbilt is not the worst team in the SEC outside of Missouri.
Yeah.
There is no case. It's Missouri being historically bad and then Vanderbilt also being horrendous, but being outshined by how horrific Missouri is.
Yep.
And a lot of the times when you look at these stats, Missouri ranks better than Vanderbilt in these stats, even though Vanderbilt was able to grind out 4 conference wins. So Shout out to the players for grinding out 4 conference wins. But the embarrassing performances you saw were not your eyes deceiving you. This team really does suck that badly. And Jerry Stackhouse did nothing to adjust. They were awful in game 1 against Presbyterian, and they were awful through the next 30 games.
Yep.
And here we are with single-digit wins overall at the end of the season.
I mean, it's just, I don't know how, even if you weren't a stats person,
year 5,
I don't know how you could just watch Vanderbilt basketball, not even keep up with the stats, but just watch Vanderbilt basketball and say, this man deserves to keep his job. And then whenever you break down the stats, you look even further into it. I don't understand, dude. I don't get it. And it saddens me deeply.
There's no viable defense for Jerry Stackhouse keeping his job. 0 NCAA tournaments now in 5 seasons, unless they make a miracle run in the SEC tournament, which is not going to happen. 0 NCAA tournaments in 5 years. No clear path of growth or clear path to winning in the future. No incredible class. No youth to build on currently in the program. There's nothing. The only reason possible that Jerry Stackhouse could be retained is because Candace Story Lee, an inexperienced, completely unqualified athletic director whose only experience is within the Vanderbilt University administration, which is a garbage fest, shit show, firestorm, the worst athletic department in the country, bar none. That's her only experience.
Yeah.
And it's showing. Because the only way you can justify keeping Jerry Stackhouse, you can't even justify it, is that she gave Jerry Stackhouse with that extension such a big buyout, she has put herself between a rock and a hard place. And if that is the case, then she needs to be fired.
Yep.
But there was some news that we had a Spaces about. A Robbie Weinstein post on 24/7. I don't want to misquote it.
Robbie gives and Robbie takes.
I don't want to misquote it. I'm not going to read all of it. It was a long post on a Vandy 24/7 board about what Robbie has been hearing about Jerry Stackhouse's job status. So I'm just going to read the beginning of this and maybe we'll reference some more sentences in this post. But in quote on 24/7, Robbie Weinstein says, Vanderbilt is expected to retain Jerry Stackhouse for the 2024-2025 season, barring a late slash surprising change of course. I'm told that the Commodores have secured a substantial NIL war chest of the size to where they feel they have enough money to go buy a quality roster through the NCAA transfer portal.
The reason I couch this is that I don't think the decision will be formalized until Candace Lee meets with Stackhouse for some sort of debrief after the season ends. That's the majority of the headline that got everybody riled up. And Robbie actually joined our spaces and said this wasn't any new news or anything that he was reporting. It was just the overall trend that he is seeing from a lot of sources, talking to a lot of people, that he, as of right now, expects Vanderbilt to retain Jerry Stackhouse. We went on plenty of rants. You went on an all-time rant at the beginning of our Twitter spaces that we had last week. What is – they are alienating every single remaining fan that Vanderbilt has, and it's not a lot. There are not a lot of true Vanderbilt fans out there anymore, and they continue to make it more and more difficult by making asinine, stupid decisions that an FCS athletic director would scoff at.
Yep.
You are paying for hiring a woman with zero. I just want to repeat it because I don't think it's being hit on enough. Zero true experience. Her only experience is graduating from Vanderbilt, going to school at Vanderbilt to get her graduate degrees, and working in the athletic department at Vanderbilt under the administration that we all have great disdain for due to their lack of investment. And now you're just reaping what you sowed. And I got fooled by the fundraising efforts. I got fooled. Okay. Same. I wanted to buy in. I wanted to be supportive. But right now the inexperience is just showing. And if she, and the rumors are, just to put the numbers out there, the rumors are that Jerry Stackhouse has a buyout close to $14 million.
That is the number that is getting thrown out there.
We don't know officially, but that would make a lot of sense if Jerry Stackhouse has a buyout of around $14 million as to why they are finding a reason to keep him and why Candace Story Lee is basically banking her job on Jerry Stackhouse. That's what's happening. I don't know if her brain has been able to connect the dots on that. Jerry Stackhouse was not her hire. Jared Stillman went on a good rant about this a couple weeks ago. She didn't hire Jerry Stackhouse, but now she is banking her entire career and her entire reputation on Jerry Stackhouse. When he doesn't have any current roster built up or recruits that are going to contribute, so why is he the guy that you think is going to be able to utilize this war chest in an efficient way and bring together a winning roster? He's proven over five seasons he can't.
Exactly.
So what would tell you he can?
You
nothing.
Want to know, you want to know this? Do you know what Nate Oates' buyout is? $10 million. Nate Oates, one of the best college basketball coaches in America, has a buyout of $10 million. Jerry Stackhouse reportedly has a buyout of $14 million. We thought it couldn't get any worse. Gordon Gee, I tweeted this, Gordon Gee literally disbanded the athletic department. Vanderbilt did not have an athletic department during the mid-2000s to the 2010s. There was no athletic director. There was not. And then Zeppos, the one good thing he did was bring back the athletic department. Gordon Gee literally dismembered the athletic department. Gordon Gee said that Vanderbilt was on the trajectory to not having sports because he thought that that was a good idea for the institution. Candace Story Lee has somehow brought Vanderbilt to a lower level than Gordon Gee. Think about that. Vanderbilt basketball during the mid-2000s, electric. No athletic department. Vanderbilt football had their first bowl game since 1982 in 2008. Vanderbilt went to another bowl game in 2011, 2012, 2013. Now, granted, those three were under an athletic department. Vanderbilt went to a bowl game for the first time since 1982 in 2008. Vanderbilt basketball was good, making tournaments in the mid-2000s. Candace Story Lee has brought this program lower. I'm going to say this, and I'm not a Vanderbilt historian by any means, but I think this is the lowest point. I truly believe this is the lowest point in Vanderbilt athletics history, all because of Candace Story Lee and what she has done
during her time as Vanderbilt athletic director. And I'm totally with Will. I was duped. I loved Candace Story Lee. I saw the renovations. I saw the blueprints. And I thought, wow. I thought for the first time in Vanderbilt athletics history, I thought that it was finally changing. Vanderbilt was finally turning the corner. Vanderbilt has not turned the corner. Vanderbilt has taken 5 steps back. And these renovations that we got excited for mean nothing now. They mean absolutely nothing. You can keep Memorial Gym the same. You can keep First Bank the same. They could literally stop construction right now and just keep keep the end zones as a dust bowl and keep the Hawk the same. And if she's gone and Vanderbilt hires a new athletic director with more experience, with a better vision, knows what they are doing, Vanderbilt would be in a better place than they are right now.
I mean, it's hard not to use the comparison example I think we used last episode, and I definitely used on the spaces. But look at the resume for Candace Story Lee, and then look at the resume for Danny White, Tennessee's athletic director. The athletic director the Tennessee Volunteers hired around the same time as Candace Story Lee. Now look at the trajectory of those two athletic departments. Look at Danny White's resume. You can go on Wikipedia and look at it. You previous UCF athletic director. And there is a reason why normally athletic directors have a resume that looks like Danny White's, because you're dealing at a higher level and you're dealing with agents and negotiation. It is, I don't want to believe it, but we have seen it from multiple sources that there is close to a $14 million buyout. I don't know how you get bent over and fucked that hard by an agent and a coach who have zero leverage on an extension. No one else wanted Jerry Stackhouse.
Yeah.
No one was knocking down the door to get a coach that had never been to an NCAA tournament before. No one. How do you make that mistake? That is fireable. If she has made that mistake, we can't confirm it because it's a private institution. I believe Jerry Stackhouse is being paid in the top 20-ish coaches in the country annually as a salary to begin with. How do you fuck up that badly? Fireable. Yeah. There is no excuse. It's just not knowing how to do your job. She's never negotiated a significant contract with a real head coach before.
Yep.
And she got taken advantage of.
She did.
She was naive. She was dumb. She was an idiot. And now some of the stuff we're hearing that possibly some of the funds raised for these academic or these stadium renovations they're over budget. They might have to be.
Who would have thought?
They might have to be cutting some corners on these renovations because they're over budget and some of the money's not coming in the same way they thought. These are unconfirmed reports. We don't know if this is 100% true. Turns out Tommy McClelland was the primary driver, primary driving force of these funds and of these renovations, of these contracts. And now that he is gone, Candace Story Lee's just 1,000 feet underwater.
Yeah. Derek Grice, do your job. Get some money in here.
And the hiring she made after they left make no sense. More inexperienced for the most part. And she has no idea what she's doing. So I can just keep repeating that I believe Candace Story Lee has no idea what she is doing. And she's just winging it at this point. And she's gone into a shell. No public statements. Nothing. And here's the sad part. I'm still holding out hope that Jerry Stackhouse will be let go after this season. I'm still holding out that hope. But the sadder part of this is if he is retained, everybody's saying, what do we do? What kind of spaces, what event are we going to have after he's announced that he's coming back? I just think she's never going to reference it.
Yeah.
I don't think we're ever going to get an announcement. I just think we're going to hear nothing from Candace Story Lee. Because she has no idea what she's doing and no idea how much she has alienated the remaining minute fan base that she still has. There are diehard fans that we both know that for some reason are still supporting all Vanderbilt sports, going to a ton of games, that have said, if Jerry Stackhouse is brought back, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm just done. We even put out a tweet that said, if Jerry Stackhouse is brought back, TDR is dead. That may have been a bit of an, I don't think TDR is going to be dead completely. We will still continue on, but only because I know the administration, if things continue trending how they are trending, I know the administration wants us to shut down.
Yeah.
The only reason we are continuing is because I know that TDR is a thorn in the side of the administration, and they wish that fans did not have a platform they can unite around and voice their hatred towards what they're seeing, voice their displeasure for the decisions being made. That's what TDR is, because guess what? VandySports.com, Vandy 24/7, the Tennessean with Aria, they all have things that Vanderbilt can hold over the heads of their writers and bloggers. They all do. They have press passes. Their salaries are tied to this. They need access to players and coaches and admin. They have to be in there to write their articles. Yep. We don't need that.
We have no masters.
They have nothing to hold over TDR. So we can be bluntly and brutally honest about what is going on.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt Athletics is a multi-million, tens of million, close to hundreds of millions of dollars operation.
Yep.
And it is being mismanaged by somebody I wouldn't trust to run a fucking Taco Bell, to be honest. Candace Story Lee has no real world experience. She has been hung up in a bubble of Vanderbilt academia and all this theoretical decision making. And now that she's making decisions, they're not working.
Yep.
Who would have thought? Academics and intellectuals are out of touch with the reality of things.
Yep.
Who would have thought? And that's why Vanderbilt is where they are. It's not just Candace Story Lee. It's been going on for 50 years. But just because you read it in a book and stayed in your private academic bubble does not mean you're smarter than everyone. Mm-mm. In fact, you're running this program further into the ground when I frankly didn't think that was possible.
Yeah. And here's the thing. And like you said, you can have your graduate degrees. You can have your prestigious office at Vanderbilt. For those that are in Kirkland, Dearmeyer, you can have your wonderful office in Kirkland.
At least Dearmeyer's got other stuff going on.
Hey, screw Dearmeyer too. He's just as bad as Zeppos. We got punked on him too. He came into Clarkley's office to, he wanted to learn about football. He doesn't give a shit about sports, and that's a fact. Nobody in Kirkland does. Nobody in Kirkland ever has, and I'm afraid nobody in Kirkland ever will care about Vanderbilt fans or sports. But here, let's let them in on a little secret. Education costs a lot nowadays. We're going to give you a little tidbit of education, totally free, courtesy of TDR here. You can have all your meetings. You can have all your coming together of the great minds at Vanderbilt and think, what do fans want? How should we appease them? This is what fans want. Fans want to see a winning product. That's all. Fans will sit in fields and watch on a dirt, on a
milk crate.
We will sit on milk crates. We will watch a basketball game be played on dirt if they are winning. That's all we want. We don't care about upgrades. We don't care about concessions. We don't care about the beer or whether you guys sell Pepsi or Coke. We don't care. We don't care if you have food at the gym, at the stadium, or at the ballpark. Fans just want to see a winning product. And like I said on the Spaces, all you guys really have to worry about are two sports. You don't even have to worry about the other major sport that most other institutions have to worry about in baseball, because you guys haven't provided for baseball whatsoever. Tim Corbin has provided for baseball, and Vandy Boys alum have provided for baseball. What makes the Hawk nice, all those nice upgrades for players and whatnot, those are alumni donations. Those are Vandy Boys alumni donations specifically to the Hawks.
I don't want to cut off your rant and keep going after this. The reason Vanderbilt baseball has the facilities they do and the reputation they do is because the administration has just let them go.
Yep.
And not done anything negative or positive. They've just been like, Tim Corbin, you're just in charge of this. And look what Tim Corbin has been able to do.
He has turned Vanderbilt into the Alabama of college baseball. This is whenever Vanderbilt administration, Vanderbilt, the athletic department takes their hands off, good things happen. It's crazy. It is so the opposite of every other athletic department. It's where you want them to be involved. You want their input. You want them to fundraise. Whenever Vanderbilt takes their hands off of a sport, it thrives. And you've seen, like you said, that's a great point with baseball.
a sensational point of baseball. Hands off, and Tim Corbin has turned a historically bad baseball program, the Vanderbilt football of college baseball, into the Alabama of college baseball in a short period of time.
Yeah, I don't want to keep repeating rants, and these are a lot of similar rants we went on the spaces. There's even, you even said that Vanderbilt fans want a winning product, and I think that is the final goal, right?
Well, I'll take a competitive product
but
at this point.
What I'm hitting at is all Vanderbilt, and the administration only has so much control on the actual winning, yeah. Right? They just have to make the high-level decisions, and it has to play out over 3, 4, 5 years. Mm-hmm. The what Vanderbilt fans want is just for Vanderbilt to make decisions that are comparable to other Power Five schools. Just decisions that other Power Five schools would make.
Yeah.
And right now, every other Power Five school that I can think of would fire their basketball coach after 5 years of no NCAA tournament, no real success outside of the self-stroking of the end of last season that did nothing.
No.
Just an SEC co-coach of the year and no actual success for the team.
And then you get bumped out of the not invited tournament.
That's Vanderbilt fans just want normal decision making. Upgrade facilities like every other SEC program does. Hire coaches that are competent like every other SEC program does. Hire an athletic director that has previous AD experience or at least previous experience in another successful athletic department like every single other SEC team does. Just do you collect the same goddamn check as every other SEC school. You continue to misallocate it and make irreparable dumb decisions. I don't even have words for it anymore, because if it was any type of normal company, Candace Story Lee would have been replaced yesterday.
Yep.
But because it's a private institution in college athletics, all of a sudden there's more leeway to be a failure and to be a loser. And if you're supporting Jerry Stackhouse, if you're supporting what you've seen this season, then you're just a loser.
Yeah.
It's fine. Just come out, CEO Harvey, just say you're a loser. Just say you're fine with losing. That's it. As long as you admit that, then we can have a rational conversation. Uh-huh. If you just are fine with Vanderbilt, best case being, you know, 10 and 8 in the SEC on the best possible season, but a majority of SEC basketball seasons, you're winning 3, 4 conference games and not even sniffing the NCAA tournament. If you're good with that, fine. Okay, then you're a fucking loser.
Yep.
And anyone supporting Jerry Stackhouse has a loser's mentality. And every single day, the standards degrade. Do you think Vanderbilt football got to where it is now and got to where it was under Derek Mason, got to where it was underneath Bobby Johnson prior to 2008 from people being too passionate and calling out bad decisions too often? It got there due to apathy and a repeated cycle of bad decisions that compounded and compounded and compounded. And now 50 years of bad decisions have resulted in Vanderbilt football being a joke. We're about 10 years into those decisions for Vanderbilt basketball. There's not too long to go as things move even quicker in the modern internet era. People forget about history a lot quicker.
Yep.
Vanderbilt is one more bad decision away from Vanderbilt basketball being synonymous with failure, and synonymous with losing, and synonymous with Vanderbilt football, and being equated on the same level. And you're right there. You have to make the right decision now, because if you don't, the coaches that want this job right now, including Bucky from Samford, he's going to be gone.
Yep.
He's going to get a better job, a better offer. If you keep dragging your feet, Vanderbilt is only going to become a less desirable job the longer you let Jerry Stackhouse be the coach.
Yep.
The fan base is going to continue to get smaller. The environment inside of Memorial is going to continue to deteriorate. The NBA players that are produced, the fun talent, the players' connection to fans, the fans' connections to players, that's going to continue to deteriorate just because you're allowing a coach to keep a job that the fans hate, the donors hate, the local media dislikes. I don't get why you're banking your career on this guy. Just fire him and figure out the finances. That's my opinion. I'm hoping it still happens after the season. I'm hoping a lot of this is a psyop. I don't think it is anymore.
Yeah. And here's the thing. $14 million to us is a lot of money. It definitely $14 million to
that's a lot of money to anyone. Even Jerry Stackhouse.
I will say though, $14 million to Vanderbilt University is not a lot. Let's not get hung up on this $14 million. I totally get it getting hung up on it as to being an outrageous buyout. Outrageous. But collecting $14 million in terms of Vanderbilt University, that is chump change. That is nothing to them. They could, I bet you everything I own, they could spend that $14 million and it probably wouldn't even really show up in the budget. That means nothing to them. And the fact that they continue to hamper on this, and it doesn't take, the fact that this isn't a lot of money to Vanderbilt doesn't take away from the fact that that's still an incredibly ridiculous buyout. But her pitter-pattering around the fact, $14 million, get the money. Just get the money. You have the donors. You have the boosters. You have the funds. $50 million from the SEC every year. $50 million.
And that's just the SEC revenue just distribution. The SEC. That's not any of the other stuff. That's just SEC revenue distribution for the TV contract.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous that you are allowing this to be a hang-up.
If they continue down this path, then they're not then maybe they'll wake up because they'll stop receiving the SEC revenue check after they're kicked out.
Yeah, that's something that we don't talk about. And historically, I've hated the idea that, Vanderbilt's going to get kicked out of the SEC because they're a founding member. The SEC needs Vanderbilt for
being a private institution. But that changes.
That is going to change. I'm telling you, that's going to change with realignment. That is going to change with NIL. That is going to change with TV deals. The TV deals aren't going to start signing. I'll tell you what, Vanderbilt, I'll let you on a little secret. TV deals in the near future aren't going to sign with conferences. They're going to sign with schools.
Yep.
They're going to sign with schools. CBS, ESPN, Fox, ABC, NBC, they're not signing with the SEC no more. They are going to sign with schools. And we are going to get bumped to MyTV 30. That's what's going to happen.
Jefferson Pilot.
We're going to get bumped to freaking Jefferson Pilot.
Is it the Jackson Pilot or Jefferson?
Jefferson Pilot, I believe.
That's where it's headed. So we've complained.
We're going to go to where we're not going to get on TV, and we're just going to have to listen to the fucking radio call on the app.
We're going
to
move back to like 2007.
We are. We are going to regress to where you cannot watch a.
Sad watching an administration that claims to be passionate, and I'll close it with this, because we'll continue to do these episodes. It's sad to see people that think supporting Vanderbilt means being happy with every decision they make and blindly supporting every decision they make. That's not being a fan of something. That's not loving something. Just accepting, you're making another stupid decision? Great! Let's keep doing it. Like, you have to push back. That's what bothers me so much about some of these accounts that are mouthpieces for the university. There's no critical thinking. There's no self-decision making. It's just, it's Vanderbilt. I'm going to clap like an idiot.
Yep.
And that's where that.
Don't do that for any other aspect. We don't do that for the United States of America. People, for the most part, criticize America because they love America and they want to see it get better. People criticize their friends because they love their friends and they want to see their friends get better. That's just life. You know what I mean? I don't understand it.
I don't understand it. You have a bunch of people being paid, and everyone keep in mind, because I said I was going to close it out, but I will soon. Keep the pressure going, whatever it is, social media, emails, calls, reaching out to underlying admin. Don't be disrespectful to underlying employees in the Vanderbilt Athletic Department, because they're probably not the ones making the decision. But keep the pressure going. Make their jobs annoying.
Yep.
Keep it up. Keep tagging Vanderbilt AD at Vandy AD on Twitter.
Yep.
We love to see it because we don't have much recourse otherwise.
No.
So keep up the pressure, because you have to have there has to be some recognition that you are going against 95% of your supporters by bringing this guy back.
615-322-GOLD. Tell him you're not buying basketball tickets anymore as long as he's there. don't like Will said, those people are just working the phone lines. Don't be mad at them. Don't be disrespectful to them. Let them know, hey, I'm not getting basketball tickets. Hell, I tell you what, I might not get football tickets.
Hell, actually, I take it back. Be disrespectful. Get them angry. Like, don't be direct, but be like, this fucking pisses me off.
Yeah.
This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. This is the dumbest athletic department in the country.
Yep.
If you're working for this athletic department, you are apathetic to idiocy. Mm-hmm. Let them know that. Bring it up. They have meetings. There has to be some way for fans to voice their opinion, because right now I don't even know who they're catering to.
Well, I'll tell you what, too.
Catering to no one.
Go to Vanderbilt.edu. Candace Story Lee's email's private for some reason. I tell you what, the rest of those high-arcing athletic department members, their emails aren't private. Their emails are open on the web, on the website. Vanderbilt.edu. Go find their emails. Go find Derek Grice's email. Go find whoever's email. Email them and let them know that we cannot continue this. Email Patel. Email whoever has an email within the athletic department and tell them that this is absolutely unacceptable and demand change now.
Absolutely. Trevor, are we going? This is the last question I have for you. Are we going to the SEC tournament tomorrow?
I can't be in the same building as Jerry Stackhouse.
I'm going to try. I was hoping Vanderbilt, with how the schedule, I knew it wasn't going to, because I think normally the 12-13 game is before the 11-14 game in seeding. The tip-off time is 6 p.m. I'm living out in the Brentwood area. We'll see if I can make it with work. A little bit of busy time at work right now. I'm going to try to attend the game just so I can boo Jerry Stackhouse. That's the only reason. And I actually think Vanderbilt's going to win the first game of the SEC tournament, to be honest. I think they're going to beat Arkansas.
Also, we have to address a funny tweet. Whenever we were on our spaces, we were like, hey, it's time to get disrespectful. It's time to let them know how you feel. I forget the account, but somebody tweeted that during the Florida game, we should – it didn't happen, obviously, but that we should pull a old-school Florida game and instead of throwing tennis balls in the court, throw golf balls. And people got upset at that tweet. I thought that tweet was hilarious. I retweeted it. I thought it was a funny tweet.
I thought it was funny, too. Golf balls could be dangerous, but at the same time, I don't think anyone was actually planning on throwing golf balls onto the court. But I thought it was a great tweet.
I mean, yeah, I thought it was very, very funny. I mean, they threw golf balls at Lane Kiffin, and it turned out to be a huge social media sensation.
Well, I'm going to try to make it to the SEC tournament tomorrow. We will see. If anybody has free tickets, please feel free to slide into my DMs. I'll probably not be buying tickets until later tomorrow once I see how my work schedule plays out. But Trevor, anything you want to add here before we close out episode 263?
Fire Jerry Stackhouse and fire Candace Story Lee.
At Daniel Dearmeyer.
At Daniel Dearmeyer. Daniel Dearmeyer resign.
Meh. Just as long as he fires Candace Story Lee and fires Jerry Stackhouse, no problem with Dearmeyer.
Don't care. Resign, Dearmeyer. You're just like Zeppos, except you're German.
Well, that's a great way to close it out. For myself, Will Byram, and my co-host, Trevor Hewlin, this has been episode 263 of The Door Report, powered by 615 Collectibles.